Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As I mentioned to you last February in a sermon on Ash Wednesday from this august pulpit, I have for years felt such a degree of bewilderment at a Lentening happening, one which I would call a phenomenon, that used to make me sit up and take very careful notice. At my former church home in New York City at the crossroads of Wall Street and Broadway, a number of people used to come to the Ash Wednesday service. We counted every year between 17 and 20,000 people. They made their way, and they still do make their way to church on Ash Wednesday. Of all things, to have carbon black smudged on their heads in the form of a cross. Now that is a staggering number of people, and such a swell in weekday attendance that it demanded that we marshal every possible black cassock resource in the southern part of the city to do the work of imposition. You should have seen our thumbs when all was said and done. From early in the morning, from way before sunup to way after sundown, we stood there amid long queues of somber souls who wanted a simple ministration of being ashed with a cross, along with those very sobering words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Remember, and don't you ever forget, keep it fresh and green in that mind and heart of yours, that you are but a speck of lifeless, burned-out matter as you enter this holy place. That's your heritage. That's your present tense. And for that matter, that's your destiny. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Oh, I know there's so much more to be said about who we are and what we are and where we are and why we are, especially in the spirit of the resurrected Christ, but we'll get to that truth in due time. That's Easter, that's Pentecost, one thing at a time. Here, one truth at a time. In this season of life when we've become a notoriously impious lot who taste and nibble at any spirituality on the market that will come and tell us, "I'm okay and you're okay and we're okay," I think it's nigh incredible that we would even listen to the dictum, "Remember you are dust and to dust you shall return." I'm surprised we would have it smudged on our consciousness. I'm surprised that the Standing Liturgical Commission of the Episcopal Church hasn't decided to remove the medievalism here, extract the penitential, and substitute new words that might go like this: "My brother, my sister, you are lovable and adorable, and God just thinks you are peachy keen." And then forget the ashes. Perhaps sprinkle the imposee with the silver glitters of fairy dust and send you on your way. Now, why in heaven's name would such a lugubrious action that sounds and feels almost like mud in your eye, bring in the sheaves? Well, I think I have a hint or a guess on what's going on here. I would say it draws in the masses because for so many of those Wall Streeters, and perhaps for some of you, it's one of the few moments in life when the unvarnished truth is spoken. And as Jesus told us, in no uncertain terms, the truth will always set us free. It's a liturgical second, a nanosecond, when the church can say without equivocation that our souls are tarnished, that we are broken, that there is something not right about the likes of us, that we have erred and strayed like lost sheep, and that there's no health in us, that we are in dire need of a Savior. Again, Easter, Pentecost. Without a strong as vinegar reminder of that which constitutes part of the truth about us, I suspect we might too go to standing on the street corner like a pumped up Pharisee. Did you hear that gospel? tooting our own egoistic horns, making a display of our pompous selves, posturing self-righteousness to the nines. Look how good I am. Learn to tell the truth, says the gospel, the unvarnished brand. Share it with God, perhaps with another. Get yourselves right size during this Lent and do it without any show whatsoever. I would go so far as to say, forget about all this giving up business for Lent or parading around Winston-Salem with ash-streaked foreheads or using briars and thorns for floral displays. Instead, concentrate on your inner life and on that deep inside yearning, pining, desire, eros for Jesus to set things right, to help us get back on track, to deliver us from the powers of what we once referred to as the world, the flesh, and the devil. Cultivate that relationship in a spirit of truth, and all else follows suit. This is hyperbole. I am exaggerating my point just to caution any or all of us about trivializing the spiritual power on this important day and season. Every year, some of my acquaintances will come up to me and proudly say things like, I've given up lobster for Lent. And I want to say, well, bless your heart. I've given up blue peanut chocolate M&Ms for Lent. Not the red ones, not the yellow ones, but the blue ones. I've given up Chateaubriand avec Lognon for Lent. I just want to freak out when I hear things like that. This kind of self-denial has no impact whatsoever on a person's life. It has nothing to do with your walk with Christ or with mine. If you really want to give up something, if you are hog-tied to that Lenten notion, why not? As one internet sage recently put it, give up your fear of failure. How about giving up your small and limited view of God? How about your need to worry about things or your comfort zone or your desire to people please? Fact about this, how about giving up your life, as Jesus would say? Where are we with St. Paul's observation about himself? Are we there? He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Listen to a portion of today's gospel in contemporary parlance. It says, be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but God who made you won't be applauding, I guarantee. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get their applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks, just do it. Do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. That's the way you need to help others out. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. And notice the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. I got into trouble one year when I preached an Ash Wednesday sermon on that particular last part of the passage. It says, just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. I said to the congregation, don't just do something this Lent, sit there, be there. Well, the liturgical police from the diocese and the pious folk from the congregation wanted to string me up, all those Pelagians. They wanted me to enjoin them to practice acts of self-denial, mortifications of the flesh, edifications of the mind, and invigorations of the spirit. One person even said, "Don't you understand, dear father? The church is the gold gem of the spiritual life. It's where we pump ourselves up and strengthen our spiritual abs and lats." And I was so tempted to say, "Fie on thee." You've missed the point. The point is developing a relationship with God, who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have several ways to get there. A relationship where honesty is the key, humility is the virtue, and surrender is the goal. The point is developing a relationship. Sit down with Jesus. Let the focus shift from you to him. And then, as the gospel promises, you will begin to sense his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.